You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
This is the Making of the Champ, Making of a Champion. Your guest today is Mr. EJ Matthews with our hosts, Ms. Tanya Cole and Mr. Peter Guidi. Like, folks, take it away.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Hey, hello, thanks EJ. Thanks for having me again.
We're happy to have you.
Absolutely.
What's going on?
They fit.
Go ahead.
You got a glitch.
Well, we're still learning.
There you go.
So you're in Biloxi, Mississippi today.
I'm in Biloxi, Mississippi. We have our weigh-in coming in tomorrow. Then the big day of the debut of the Max Series USA on CBS Sports Live on Saturday.
Wow, that's pretty fantastic. You haven't met Tanya Cole.
I haven't.
Our lovely, lovely host.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you, EJ.
Hey, Miss Cole, it's a pleasure to meet you as well.
Tanya comes to us out of Atlanta.
Okay.
And so we're anxious to join with each other and find our way through stories in boxing. And we're looking forward to Mark Too Sharp Johnson joining us on today's podcast. How did you and Mark first get involved with each other?
Well, my host of the Max Series name is Ronnie Duncan, CBS sportscaster. Me and Ronnie have been friends for about 20, 25 years, maybe longer than that. Back to my Tommy Hearns days, he used to live in Phoenix, Arizona, and we used to train there. We trained there for the Hagler fight. We trained there for the Leonard fight. We trained in Arizona several times, and he was the sportscaster on CBS in Arizona. He and Too Sharp are very good friends. So he called me and he said, man, what about Too Sharp Johnson being a color analyst on the Max Series? He said, I know he's done a lot of things with Freddie Pacheco and on sport on CBS and as well as on Showtime. He said, I think it'd be a good fit next to me. And so we met and it was birth. He was like, and I'd love to join the team. So that's how it happened. But then we first met, he and I, when he went into the Hall of Fame. He got elected into the Hall of Fame the same time Thomas Hearns did. So at one time, Thomas Hearns was considered one of the best fighters in the world, but he was never pound for pound considered the best in the world. And Mark Too Sharp Johnson at one time was considered pound for pound number two in the world next to Floyd Mayweather.
Well, and he was a southpaw on top of it all.
Yeah, great fighter.
He actually started in the Golden Gloves in 1988, champion Golden Gloves fighter out of Washington, D.C.
Correct. You've done your homework.
Tried it.
Yeah, now I hope he gets a chance to join us. Like I say, he's traveled today here to Biloxi from D.C. But then he had a fighter to go look at. And at a gym, so he went there. So I thought, again, I told Peter and I told Michael that I thought it was 5 o'clock here and not 4 o'clock. So I thought I had another hour to track him down.
Well, there's so much going on in the world of boxing, and Mark is involved in some really interesting things. And I really hope that he joins us. One of the things that I'm really interested in hearing about his work on trying to find pension plans or some sort of organization so that retired boxers have a way to benefit from in their retirement with some income.
Yeah, we talked about that. And Bigger Than Life Entertainment actually has come up with their own pension plan, like for boxers to fight on the Max Series. We have a Max Series championship title belt that's being created right now. So instead of a fighter paying sanctioning fees to win our title, what they have to do with all of the other sanctioning bodies, they have to pay to win their belt. And then they have to pay to keep it. Every time they fight for that belt, they have to pay a percentage of their purse to that sanctioning body. That's how boxing works. So what Bigger Than Life Entertainment, what we came up with our own title, is going to be a Bigger Than Life Entertainment Max Series Championship belt. It's going to have Thomas Hearns on one side, three-time heavyweight champion Michael Moore on the other side, with the Bigger Than Life Max Series logo in the middle. And when they win that title, instead of them paying us to carry our title, we're going to that sanctioning fee, we're going to put that in an insurance policy that'll go towards that fight.
All right, so it almost sounds kind of like a 401k. You put some money 100%. In and hoping 100%. To get a match. So does someone match the funds that they put in there?
Well, we haven't went that far yet. So if you can find somebody that's interested in
a private investor.
So
you know, because I contribute the max so that I can get the max out of it. So it would be exciting for you to find a donor or a series of donors that can help you match those funds that they put in.
That's right. Well, so right now, but that's our thought. It's only on paper. It's only an idea right now.
Great idea.
So hopefully we can bring it to fruition. We're just working on all of the ins and outs, the do's and the don'ts. Me being a promoter and having a belt may be a conflict of interest. We're looking into it. So we got lawyers and things like that are doing their job. So when we finish with that, then we'll know.
I was reading some of Mark's comments about the health of fighters, and he had a lot to say recently about some of the tragedies that have occurred in the ring, and he's calling really for one national organization, and I am kind of curious though, because we do get into the pros and the amateurs quite a bit, and one of the things that we hear from the guys on the amateur side is weigh-ins and pros, sometimes the guys sucking too much weight and putting themselves at risk to get in a lower weight class. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Well, that's really a fighter question. But my opinion is different than the things that they went through as him, is him being a fighter all of his life. That's a question really for him. But my opinion about that is this. I believe that we should go back to same day weigh-in. Because fighters, they suck themselves down and they weigh in, they make a weight, say they weigh in on Friday, 130 pounds. The next day they weigh 150. And then say the other kid is a natural 130 pounder, he's too big for the guy. So I'd like to see us go back the same day weigh in. You know, when Tommy Hearns and Sugar Ray Leonard and all of those guys, Marvin Hagler fought, they had to weigh in that morning, so they didn't have time to really do anything to hydrate that much for that night. Because when Tommy Hearns fought Marvin Hagler, if we'd have weighed in the day before, Tommy would have knocked Marvin Hagler out. It would have been a different story in those three rounds. Tommy was so high dehydrated that he and I, the night before the fight, we were in the steam room losing weight. You know, it happened 25 years ago, so I can tell it. He's losing weight, trying to lose weight. That next morning, he didn't eat anything. Afternoon, he didn't eat anything. So mourning. He's spitting. So he makes the weight. And he didn't have enough time to really hydrate that much. So he was a little dehydrated. I mean, his legs were like rubber when we walked in the ring. If you get a chance to go back and watch that fight, there was a guy massaging his legs in the corner before the fight started.
Wow.
Which is a no-go, rubbing on a fighter just before he's about to fight. But his legs were so tired from exhausting and no water. So, I mean, it was amazing that he did what he did in those three rounds. But if he'd have been able to weigh in the day before, like these guys do today, and hydrate back up,
And that's safer too for the fighters, right? Because I mean, there's a lot of feeling that maybe the dehydration in the head is what really leads to the damage.
Well, I don't, you know, but now they don't have it because they weigh in the day before, you know. So they don't weigh in; they weigh in the day before. So if a guy can't hydrate a whole 24 of almost 30 hours, then he was really too big, you know, and so that should be outlawed, that a guy that's weighing, you know, 50, 100, 150 is fighting at 130. You know, that should be outlawed. I mean, that makes no sense. If you,
yeah, and that would be, I think, good for pounds,
you should fight at 47. You shouldn't be trying to fight at 130.
So to lose 20 pounds, how much time does it take for them to lose that much weight?
Well, I mean, a fighter trains for 10 weeks.
Okay.
So if he's walking around at 150, I mean, it's easy for him to get down to 130 pounds. But, you know, to stay there, and you know, for the duration of the time. And then, like I said, the next day, you know, when they weigh in at 11 o'clock. I weigh in tomorrow at 11 o'clock. So a kid can go right from there. And you're gonna see him guzzling down water on TV, guzzling water or a Gatorade or something. Then he goes directly from there to eat. He's lunch. Then he's gonna have dinner. Then he's gonna have three meals the next day. He's gonna have breakfast, lunch, and dinner before they go into the ring. So by that time, he's hydrated back up those 20 pounds.
No, oh, I mean, because you know I'm asking purely for selfish reasons.
Yes, spoken like a woman. Yeah, I bet.
Yes, but, yes. Yeah. I need to know.
Yeah, it's
Give me the guess on that.
Yeah, it's not. It's not hard. It's really not. If you're motivated to do it, it's not hard to do it.
Well, I always say I'm one good flu away from my fighting weight.
Well, I mean, you know, my father used to say you're a biscuit away. You know what I mean? So if you're trying to lose weight, it's easy to do. I mean, people don't want to, even myself. I mean, I used to train like crazy. I mean, I had to stay in shape. I mean, I had an 8-pack. I didn't even have a 6-pack. I mean, now you couldn't see it. You know what I mean? It's hard for me to see my feet, you know. But it's because I don't care. I'm not, I have zero interest in the gym. So I have, you know, I eat anything. So if you feel like you want to do it, it's easy to do. Really, it is.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So tell us about your fight this weekend.
Okay, good. I'm finally we got to that. Okay, because that's why I'm on here. We need to talk about what the exciting news that I have with the partnership with Joe Louis Brand. You know, I mean Bourbon.
So that's what you got.
Good. Let me explain what we have. Tomorrow we have the weigh-in. We have six exciting fights on the card. Two title fights. Tomorrow, we're making world champions because both titles are vacant. So somebody's going to win a title tomorrow. One's the WBL and the Cruiserweight. And the other one, the WBC, is exciting, trying to get involved. They really want to get involved with this fight. So the WBA has the middleweight fight. So the WBA championship is on the middleweight card, and the WBL is on the Cruiserweight. But we're making two champions. Both of these guys, both us four fighters, have an opportunity to win two titles. So we're very excited about that. CBS is very excited about that because CBS's first time having a fight in almost 5 years that CBS had a fight. So they're coming back with world championship boxing. So everything else has been social distancing with coming back after the pandemic. So we're going to be the first real live event because we're going to have an audience. The place is a third of what it could be. It's 11,000 seat place, but we're only going to have 1,000 people maybe because of it's every other row front and back, nobody, six rows set left and right. If you buy a table, you can only sit at the table of six. You have to know each person that's sitting with you. You have to buy the whole table. We made sure that the social distancing thing is in place. Every person that comes in will get a wristband that says tested. They'll be tested at the door and they'll get a wristband. If they don't have that wristband, they won't get in.
You're going to test every person who comes through the door?
Because we only have 1,000 people.
Wow.
And an 11,000 seat place.
Wow, what a big task to undertake.
It is, but it's important that we do it because, and all of the fighters, all of the referees, all of the judges, everybody had to have a corona test two times a week. And so we're making sure that whatever else somebody else is doing, our protocol is our protocol. We're looking forward to making sure that people know that we went through the right steps to keep the people in the building, the fighters themselves, the referees, the judges, safe. It's important.
So while the fighters were training, how often were they tested?
They were tested twice a week. Twice a week for 6 weeks.
So you had to move this fight from Las Vegas to Mississippi, and you had to do it in a hurry. Talk to us a little bit about what that felt like and how you, what happened the minute the light went off and said, holy cow, I can't do it in Vegas.
Well, what happened was that the Rio is not going to open back up at all. It looks like it's going to become the site of the new MLB. Las Vegas is getting a Major League Baseball team. And I think they're going to put it on the site of where the Rio is. So what we thought we were going to be able to do in the fight dome inside the Rio just went away. I mean, it just went away. So at that point, there was no need for me to do it in Vegas.
Because how much notice did you get for that?
To switch it?
Right.
I had 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
I was able to pick up the phone. I have a license here in Mississippi, so I was able to pick up the phone, call John, who's the head of the commission, and say, hey, man, I got a situation. I need to move 200 people from Las Vegas to Mississippi. Where there should I do it? Should I do it in Jackson or should I do it in Biloxi? He said, well, you can't do it in Jackson, EJ, because I have a fight on the 11th. He said, Biloxi, I don't have a fight on the 11th. So if you want, I can let you go into Biloxi. He said, where are you going to put it? I said, I don't know. I need a building. He said, I just got off the phone with Mark over at the Coliseum. He said, take this number, give him a call, tell him you spoke to me. I called Mark. I said, hey, I just talked to John. John said to call you. He said, well, I can't give you a building till you have a date. So you got to tell John to send me an email that you have a date. I said, well, John don't want to give me a date without a building. Yeah. I say, so you two guys need to talk. And you both say you need to say yes and then call me back. So that's what they did. They both spoke and we were able to work it out. It was, you should have seen the stress and the ingenuity that went into it. A friend of mine was sitting there and he's been knowing me maybe 40 years. But for him to see what I did at that moment, he was like, look, man, I need to be in. I got $2.5 million I give you every year for the next 5 years. I need it in paper. I was like, nah. I was like, when I came to you 5 years ago, you wasn't interested. He said, I never was interested. He said, I wasn't interested. I saw it in action. right then, right now. And he offered me $2.5 million a year for 5 years. And I turned him down.
So basically you're saying you're well connected, because if that were me making that call, you know, we would not have anything happening on Saturday.
Well,
so kudos to you.
I don't know about connections, because I had never done anything here in Mississippi. I had never done anything here, but I had a license. Because Tommy Hearns, like I said, is my best friend. And Tommy, people think, is from Detroit, but he's actually from Memphis. He's from Memphis. He's originally from Memphis. And his sister lives in Mississippi. And she has a boxing license down here. So she called me and was like, yo, EJ, you need to get a boxing license in Mississippi if you don't never use it. I was like, okay. So I have to say that, yeah, I guess maybe I am kind of connected, because if Sarah Hearns don't tell me to get that boxing license, this wouldn't be happening right now.
Yeah, preparation meets opportunity. So, you know, you got to send her a dozen roses now.
Yeah.
Well, let's break for a quick commercial break with our...
She'll be here tomorrow. So I'll make sure I put some in her room. That's a good
I'm ready.
Thought.
Fantastic. Thanks, guys. We're going to get right back to your questions and Mr. Matthews. But hey, it begins now. The Making of Champions, amateur and pro boxers every week. Together, we will discover what makes a champion. The Making of Champions is presented by the Joe Louis Distilling Company in honor and recognition of the legacy of Joe Louis, the longest reigning world heavyweight champion and America's first African-American national hero. A legacy that grows stronger by the day as new generations of champions learn and become inspired by his accomplishments, his ability to rise up against great challenges, his dedication to family, community, and giving back. Watch, listen, follow, or engage with us for new episodes exploring boxing through the eyes of those whose lives have been improved and serve or someday strive to serve as good citizens and community leaders. Guys, I'm going to throw it back at you.
Throw it back to us.
You got it.
Fantastic. So tell us a little bit about your fighters and the guys. Tell us where they're from. And I'm really interested in hearing about your connections to the kids in Africa who are fighting. You know, since we got involved with you, I've been getting a lot of Facebook requests from young fighters in places like Nigeria. What's going on over there, and how's that working?
Well, you know, every day since I was on the podcast, Every day I'm getting a message from somebody in Africa. Yo, so you got me on the card? Can I fight? One kid just had a baby yesterday. Every day since the podcast, he's been hitting me up. I'm training. As soon as my baby is born, I'll be ready. I can't fight for this fight, but in August, you know, I'm on the show. My wife said it's okay that she'll be here with the baby by herself. And so yesterday it was a good thing he had a child yesterday. He's fought for me before. And he's from South Africa. He's from Durban. He's from Durban, South Africa, now living in Germany, actually. So his baby was born in Germany. So his child will have dual citizenship. But it's exciting. It's exciting, the times. I mean, the Max series, the Making of a Champion. Children from all over the country, man, they're so excited about having an opportunity. Like I said on your first podcast, the other two big promoters, the other big three promoters, they don't care about the guy that didn't make the Olympic team. They don't care about the guy who didn't have 350 amateur fights. So they don't care about that guy. But the guy that can just fight, he's going to get an opportunity to win a title on the Max series.
So who's on that fight card? I think you said you had four fighters.
No, it's the six fights.
Okay.
The six fights, and it's a good card. I mean, you have Webster for the cruiserweight fighting Cunningham, and it's going to be an exciting cruiserweight title fight. And so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very, very, very interesting. Make sure you tune in.
Any personal picks on your part, or are you totally neutral?
I'm totally neutral as a promoter. I don't have no skin in the game.
Well, I wasn't talking about the skin in the game. I'm kind of curious. Do you have any opinion on who's bringing the best game tomorrow?
I do not. I do not. What I do, my matchmaker, his name is Shante McCoy. What I instruct him to do, my instructions to him is simple. I don't want any fights that's 80-20. I don't want a guy that is walking into the ring, he knows he's going to win. I don't want that. So you have a guy that's 12-2 fighting a guy 16-2. So they got to bring it. They got to bring it. So, you know, then I have a fight that 11-1 guy is fighting an 11-0 guy. So you got to bring it. Can't you know, you don't know what's going to happen when that bell rings. So that's why we have what we call a swing box. In case people get knocked out early, we got that guy that's going to, that wouldn't have got on television, he'll get an opportunity to fight on television.
Just in case they go down in the first round. Well, when Tushak won his first belt, he knocked the guy out in the first round. It reminded me of what Joe did to Schmeling in the first round in Yankee Stadium that night.
Right. Right. The night that he told his friend that he was scared because he thought he was going to kill him.
And right. He was almost right.
He was almost right. He was. He was almost right.
I know that you said they've been training for about like 10 weeks now preparing for this bout.
Right.
Outside of that. Say that again?
And they were tested for six.
Okay. Yes. And so outside of that, what is sort of the scope in terms of the level of training of the boxer sort of as a whole? Who do you think has been training the longest and who do you think has been training for the shortest period of time?
That's a hard question. That's a hard question. I wouldn't know because most of them live everywhere. They live everywhere.
Okay.
I got guys that came in from Oklahoma. I got guys that came in from Tucson, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Oakland, Sacramento, Vegas. So I'm not there.
But I'm everywhere.
They know from the time that I call, they've all been training the same time. But when I call a fighter, the first question I ask is, are you already training? Or can you get ready for July 6th, July 11th? Or do you need to wait to August 8th? Where are you? No, we've been training. We got another 7 weeks, then we're good. We've been in the gym. But prior to this, you can imagine, the pandemic was really still there. Mm-hmm. So wasn't nobody going anywhere. Everybody was in the house. Nobody was training. Nobody was doing anything. You had some people that were still running, but as far as boxing training, they weren't doing that. They already been conditioning themselves by running. So that's a hard tell. That's a hard tell because you got guys that's dedicated that stay on the road. But then you got guys that hate to run. You know, I knew a fighter that didn't run ever. And he was a world champion. I can't say who he was, but he never ran ever. What he did was he would do cardio in the gym and with weights. He would do mm-hmm. what they call supersets that would open your lungs up just as well as running would do. And that's what he would do. He would have 10 rows of weights and do 10 to 15 reps in one set. And with 10 different weights. So you're talking about over a couple of hundred reps in one set, and he would do
he would do 10
sets like that. So I don't think you'd get that tired running. So he was he was always in shape. He was always in shape. It was cold. Yeah.
A tough sport to get it. If you're not in shape, it can be awful tough in the ring.
Oh no, 100%. So but I'm gonna tell you, the Joe Louis brand and what they're doing with the USA kids. And what we're trying to do with the pros. I have to say something that you guys don't know. Once we spoke about the gym last time, Peter, you weren't on that call. I'm sure you saw it. We spoke about doing a string of Joe Louis gyms. I've been in the process of looking for a gym. I like to say that I found a location for the flagship Joe Louis Making a Champion boxing gym.
Wow. That's quite an announcement right there.
It is.
Yeah. I had to hold that until, you know, to the end.
Surprise.
Well, I'm anxious to learn more about that. I know that if we had Mark on today, I was excited to hear more about his coaching with kids. I know he does an awful lot with kids in BC these days. And,
did you text him still?
We will reschedule. We will reschedule Mark. We definitely want to get him on. You know, he's got a great story. You know, he was a fantastic amateur. He was a fantastic pro. You know, he spent his life giving back to the community. And we want to hear more about all that. And so let him know we're sorry we missed him, but we definitely want him back on. And we'll work hard for him to get him back on in the next few weeks.
Perfect. All right, guys, I'm gonna jump off and it was good. And Ms. Cole, it was nice to meet you.
The pleasure meeting you as well. And before you leave, tell us again how we can watch you guys this weekend.
Saturday night, East Coast, 10 p.m. Making a Champ on CBS Sports Network Live.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll look all forward right. to it.
All right, perfect.
Thank you all.
Pleasure, EJ. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Junior World Flyweight Champion Mark Too Sharp Johnson.
You go to YouTube to Mark Johnson highlights. You'll be able to see Mark Too Sharp Johnson highlights. Be able to see those clips out there. So fantastic. Thank you, guys. I'm going to throw it right back at you.
Well, fantastic. Thanks so much, Tanya, for joining us tonight. That's looking forward to doing this again next week when we will have Joe Hicks Jr. From Grand Rapids, Michigan, a member of the 2020 U.S. Olympic team, who's now a member of the U.S. 2021 Olympic team, and what that means to him and his beautiful young bride, Zoe.
Looking forward to it.
Great. Hey, have a great week, everybody, and we'll look forward to seeing y'all next week. Thanks again, Tanya.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.